You guys are awesome. God's love is so amazing. It says, the Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love from the love of God. Nothing. God just loves us so much. So amazing. I just want to open up and pray right now. Father God, we thank you for everything that you've done in our lives, Father. We thank you for being God, Father, the one that created the heavens and the earth. And yet, you still desire to have a relationship with us, Father. What are we? We're nothing, Father, compared to the awesomeness that you have and that you are, Father. I just want to thank you so much for loving us, Father, and for just being our friend, Father, and our brother. And I just pray that our hearts are open, Father, to receive your word, Father, and that the words that you have to say to us today just be engraved, Father, too, that we may, when Satan comes and he whispers in our ear, Father, and tries to get us to doubt, Father, that we have your word in our heart, Father. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Well, some of you guys that don't know me, my name is Eric. I have a daughter that's about y'all's age. And today I want to talk with you guys about a few things. It's basically like a topical study. It's not based on just a certain scripture. If you guys want to get ready, and you guys can open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4. Talk with you guys about today was three things about how big our God is, and also how God speaks to us, and why it's important to have faith. For you note takers out there, we'll start. Basically, I just wanted to open up with how small we are compared to God and His creation, the universe, and basically, the speed of light. If anybody knows how fast the speed of light travels, the speed of light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Okay, and that's an insane amount of speed. You know, just to give you guys a visual on how fast the speed of light is, we could travel around the Earth 7.47 times, almost 8 times in 1 second. We just went around the Earth 8 times, almost. It's incredible. And the sun, or the moon, is actually 2 million miles away. The moon is 2 million miles away. If we're able to strap ourselves onto a beam of light and just go, we'd get to the moon in about 1.5 seconds. The sun is 93 million miles away. We could get to the sun in 8.3 minutes. That's traveling at the speed of light. That's just an insane amount of speed. You can't even imagine how fast that is. And also, Alpha Centauri, which is the first star in our galaxy, and that's 2.2 billion miles away. It would take us 4.3 years traveling at the speed of light just to reach the first star. Now, we live in the Milky Way galaxy, which is the galaxy we live in with all our planets. And it would take, to get from one end of the Milky Way galaxy to the other, it would take over 100,000 years traveling at the speed of light. Those light years aren't even fathomable. We can't even begin to imagine, you know, how many, if we were just to put those in regular race car, a mile, what the fastest race car goes, what, maybe 300 miles per hour, you know, normal on the normal circuit. That's just, 186,000 miles per second. That's insane, you know. And that's not even where it ends, or it's barely where it begins, because the Milky Way galaxy that we live in is one of billions. There's over 100 billion galaxies just that we know of. And that's how big our God is. You know, so next time you have a problem and you find yourself asking, you know, is this problem, is it too small to ask God for? You know, you have to ask yourself, well, is anything too big for Him? I mean, our God is just so big. He's so, You can't even imagine how big the God is that we serve. And yet he still desires to have a relationship with each and every one of us. And that's so amazing. I'm going to go ahead and read in Revelations chapter 4. It says, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper, a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, and the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest night or day, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And that's what I want to touch on, is that God created everything, the heavens and the earth. And we can just, if we could just see a picture of these billions of galaxies and how big our God is, and he created us. And by his will we're created. And God, and everything that we see around us, God speaks to us in creation. God speaks to us in through creation and his word. And I want to focus on the word of God. And God said, let there be light. In Genesis 1, in the very, very beginning, God speaks things into existence. I mean, all God said is, let there be light, you know, and it was. And there's power in his word. If any of you guys have ever read John, in John 6:63, says that the words that he speaks to us are spirit and are life. And in Hebrews it tells us that the word of God is living and powerful. This isn't just an ordinary book. This is the word of God, you know, and the words that he speaks to us are spirit and they're life. I mean, there's power in his word. If God can just say, let there be light, and there's light, that's just amazing, you know. And we need to look at it, at the words in the Bible as God's word. I mean, it's so, we can just get so lax and just reading and just, oh, okay, yeah, that's, you know, God said, you know, and you look at Revelation, and he tells you these amazing things. What I just read, Revelation 4, is the throne room of heaven. You know, this is God's word. You know, this, it's not just an ordinary book. It's not some sci-fi thriller, you know. This is the word of God. And the word of God, the word of God is what we should live our lives by. And Jesus, he told Thomas, because you have seen, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. When Jesus ascended into, when Jesus died and he wasn't in the tomb anymore, he came and he appeared to his disciples, and Thomas doubting, he said, feel my hands, the holes in my hands. And yet, you know, Thomas, the disciples back then, they seen Jesus and they believed. But Jesus tells them, blessed are those who have not seen yet still believe. And we believe because of faith. Noah in building the ark, believed. He built the ark out of faith. Abraham offered his son, his only son, as a sacrifice. You know, it blows my mind to think about your only son taking him up, trusting in God, having that much trust and faith in God that you're willing to sacrifice your only son. And Sarah conceived a child, and she was old. She was like an old lady, you know. How many old ladies do we know that have that have had kids? You know, that's just it's God. That it was out of faith because they believed that God would provide. And in Hebrews, if you guys want to turn to Hebrews 11, I just want to speak about why it's important to have faith. Now, faith, it says in Hebrews 11:1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The evidence of things not seen is when we pray or we ask God for things and we see them come to pass. All throughout the Bible, things happen and people are healed. And what does Jesus say? And when he heals people, he says, you know, take up your bed and walk. Your faith has made you well. It's faith. It's, we have to believe. That's why we call it our faith, because we have faith. We haven't seen him, but yet we still believe. And when we pray and we ask God for things, you know, the Bible tells us to be expecting things to happen. So when we pray and we ask God for things, we should be looking around and waiting and expecting God to provide our requests. You know, not to say that, you know, you get, oh God, I need a new Camaro, you know. That's our will. We have his spirit living inside of us, you know. So, and the love that we have for him, our will becomes his will. And so he says that whatever we ask, we shall receive. And that we have not because we ask not. And that's not talking, you know, so much as about material things. He's saying that this Bible is full of promises and blessings that he wants to bless us with. And he wants to show us that his word, he's faithful. But we have to step out in faith. So when we pray, we ask God for things. Let's expect something to happen, you know. Be looking around for things to happen, for God to do his work. And we need to start really trusting in God's word and take steps of faith. In the Bible, like I said, the Bible is full of blessings and promises with things, good things that God wants for us. But we have to obey his word. And hold God to his word. God gives you a promise in here. We have to step out and trust him. And he says, if he says something in here, God is faithful. But we have to trust in him and be obedient. And we can't ever expect God to see God work if we don't step out in faith. And it's important that we have faith, because in Hebrews 11:6, it tells us that without faith, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. No, it's impossible. If we have no faith, God's not going to be pleased with us. We have to have faith. That's what he wants. He's like, there's my son down there. Look, he has faith in me. That pleases God to have faith and to step out and say, here, God, I'm giving this part of my life to you. He wants all of us. He doesn't want us to just give him, this part of our life, but we're going to hold on to our finances or we're going to hold on to, you know, whatever. He wants us to give it all to him out of faith. And then we can see him work. And, it's with that faith that pleases him. When we come to God in prayer, we have to believe. That's the faith. Also that he's going to work, but that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know, God knows what we need. He knows he came from heaven to earth, you know, knowing just the billions of galaxies are out there. Where is God? This is the throne room. I mean, God is so, so big. And we can say, oh, we came from heaven to earth all day long, but we have no picture of heaven, you know? I mean, he came to puny earth, and he gave up all that just because of the love that he has for us. And we have to put our faith in him. He wants, you know, he wants to reward us. And faith, sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives that our faith may be made strong. Maybe he's allowed things to be taken away from us. Maybe other students don't treat us nice at school. Maybe they call us names, want to beat us up, jump us after school. And that's happened to me, you know. Even the ultimate, maybe someone close to us has died, a parent, a brother, a sister, a friend. You know, death is a reality, you know. But see, that's the hope that we have. We have the hope of eternal life. And we can say, that's another term we use, lax, is eternal, you know. Like, oh gosh, is this guy going to be up there talking forever, you know. But forever, that's, when you think about it, just stop and think about it. Forever, that's forever, man. I mean, those of us that have friends that aren't saved, and we see people that don't have Jesus, you know, we need to look at their eternal future. Because what if they happen to die? You know, we just seen them and they got in a car accident, and you hear that they just died in a car accident, you know. And, you know, the saddest thing is knowing that someone died and didn't have Christ. Because you're, let's say thousands of people die each day, and let's say there's two lines, you know, one, you're in one line and you look in the other line, and at the front of that line you see people going up, and you know they're going to heaven. And then you look up in the front of the line that you're in, and it's just like that's forever, you know. If you have to go to hell, that's, man, how tragic, you know. That's forever. And that's the hope that we have, is eternal life. I mean, to the unbeliever, to people that don't believe in Christ, they say that just the very thought of death can be paralyzing when you think about it. But to us that believe, we have that hope that we have, there's something better than this world. And that's when we go through trials, we need to have that hope of eternal life, that this world is fading, this world is passing away. That the Bible says that our life is but a vapor. You know, it's here today and gone tomorrow. You know, the things that we think we want, you know, is it worth our eternal life? You know, all the things that we go through, trials and tests each day of our lives are like weights, because faith is like a muscle. And the trials that God puts in our life are to strengthen our faith. If you guys want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, our faith is more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. And though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's our main goal. That's the hope that we have, to live forever in the presence of God, because ultimately we all have eternal life, whether we're going to be living in heaven or apart from God. And that's the hope that we have, is that there's something better, you know? That even though we go through trials and things, God has an eternal purpose. He's preparing us for eternity. You know, imagine you just died, you got sent up to heaven, and everybody's sitting around, they're worshiping God, singing praises to him, casting their crowns before him, and you're like nudging your friend, you're like, hey, what are these guys doing, you know? If you know, he doesn't know what they're doing. They're praising God because he saved them, you know? And, I mean, it's kind of funny to think about it, but God is preparing us. He's preparing us for great things, for a better life, you know, a life eternal. And I try to think about that, you know, and I end up blowing fuses. Eternity is just eternity. It's forever. There's no end, man. I'm going to share a story with you guys. This is a story of these minstrels. There was a band of minstrels who traveled through Europe years ago, putting on performances. It was like a dinner show. And dinner would be served. And while the dinner was being served in a local restaurant or the pub, they'd get up and they'd do little skits and performances, and they would sell tickets to these events. As the months drew on and summer drew to a close, fall came with full force, and then winter was coming. As the cold weather came, fewer people showed up for the show. And besides that, that part of Europe, the economy was dwindling. People didn't have the money for entertainment. So fewer and fewer people were coming to see the dinner show. And one evening, a very discouraged cast member took the other cast member aside and before the show, and he said, look, let's find whoever these few people are that bought tickets, and let's give them their money back. And they only had a handful of people. They only had a handful of people that the previous night. And they looked outside, and it started to snow. And the one cast member, he's like, I don't want to go on. You know, let's just give it up. Who cares about the show anymore? And one of the older cast members, a more wise and a prudent man, took the crew aside, and he said, no, we owe it to those who promised we would be here to give them the best possible performance, even if there's only two people to perform, as though there were 20,000. And he rallied them and he encouraged them to go on, and they did it. It was their best performance ever. They rocked. There was just a few people in the house. They didn't care. After the show, the old guy who encouraged the cast members, he ran to them and he said, you guys, come over here. Check this out. He was trembling. He had a little note in his hand. He opened it up, and it was a short little note, and it just said, "Thank you for a wonderful performance. Signed, your king." The king happened to be in the village that night, traveling through Europe, and he came into the pub, the restaurant where the show was, saw it, and he was dazzled, and just offered his word of encouragement. They pleased their king. And that was all they needed to hear. You know, sometimes we need to live our life pleasing to God. And that's what Jesus did. He always wanted to please his Father, you know. And sometimes, well, this world will a lot of times not approve of your lifestyle as a Christian, because they can't understand the God that we serve. You know, and it can burn you out, and it can drag you down, but living with God's stamp of approval, man, that's living. And I just want to close with this. It's like a short. It's part of a song that I have. If I can find it here. I know I wasn't, I should have been more prepared. Well, it goes like this. The reason to live, the reason to die, united with the King in the sky. This world is passing us by. Sorry, guys. Let's see. If I would have known it by heart, I would. I just. I'll just close in prayer. Father God, I thank you for these students that came, Father, and to hear your word. To be your disciples, Father, for your disciples just are learners of your word, Father, that we may learn how to better obey you, Father, and live a life that's pleasing to you, Father. I just pray that as we go out there, Father, and into the world, Father, that we just not let the cares of the world choke out the word that we have hidden in our heart, Father, that we want to please you, Father. We want to be blessings, Father, to our families, to our mothers, to our loved ones, just the people around us, Father. We want people to look at us in our lives and what we do, Father, and just say, man, you know, God is awesome. And I just pray that each one of these students, Father, as they go out there, that people see you in them, Father, in the things that they do, that they be blessings and just bring joy and peace and love to everybody that they come in contact with, Father. I just ask you to bless them and just thank you for the love that you've given us and that you've showed us, Father. I just want to say thank you. And we love you. And we bless you in your holy name, Father. And you got to stick around for a song of worship. Worship is so powerful as it ushers in the Holy Spirit. Satan tries to distract us during times of worship because he knows that our hearts are connected to God. So just clear your minds and just worship God before we go out there. In Jesus' name.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we can cast down our idols. We bow our hearts. We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble. And we turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. So give us clean hands.